best vehicle for commuting home tonight? A Zodiac. Moneypenny suggests maybe a canoe.
Bob McClain.
Bonus hours here. We do the same as we do every hour. Let's do that. Feel free. Here it's the Veterans Day show on the Bobby Mac program. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcome. Just grab your phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address is very simply bob@1063word.com. Yeah, Zodiac. With a couple of big Johnson outboards on the back, do a nice job getting a home tonight. Holy cow, this is ridiculous. Or as Grandma Hughes used to say, ridiculous. Yeah, I don't love her. Hey, Bob, you sounded confused about the Fisher-Price Corn Popper being a toy. It had a hollow bubblegum machine-shaped body with two wheels and a stick handle. Toddlers pushed it around the house, and a mechanism inside popped wooden balls around the inside of it. It was a real noisemaker. Boy, that sounds like it would drive Mom crazy. Bobby, if it was 9 degrees colder, this would be a blizzard. Yeah. Yeah, we are lucky with this one. Bob, I wonder why Brenda Snipes keeps getting elected as elections commissioner down there in Broward. 15 times? Oh, wait, I forgot. Who's counting her votes? Yeah, right. Bobby, please go to Michelle Lubin Terris, T-E-R-R-I-S, Facebook page and watch her video. She's one of the ones protesting outside the Broward County election office. She has videos of huge enterprise trucks backing up and unloading into a dock inside the election building. They also found secure ballot tags strewn across the parking lot. Jeez. These are numbered tags that secure bags of 2,500 ballots per bag. They found at least a dozen of them. They are not allowed to be discarded. Her video will blow your mind. This blatant vote fraud cannot stand. Oh, by the way, I also have it on my Facebook page, Celia Anderson. Okay, thanks, Celia. Appreciate that. Bob, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez needs to have a microphone in her face 24/7. These deep thoughts need to be recorded for posterity. No kidding. Ay, ay, ay. Bobby, my great-great-great-grandfather was Christopher Gadsden, creator of the Gadsden flag. You know, don't tread on me. Actually, the first flag of the United States Marine Corps, Semper Fi and Oorah, from Paul in Spartanburg. Yeah, Paul was called on the show before. Bobby, I heard that students that identify as an animal are calling themselves fluffies. This at a local college. All righty then. Bobby, I was told that Ocasio-Cortez has a GoFundMe account to help her get into January when her congressional salary starts. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, and one more from my email. Bob, I tried to text this to you. Here's my message. Bobby, I'd like to salute my daughter, Staff Sergeant Ashley Hartman, stationed at Holloman Air Force Base. I'm more proud of her than she'll ever know. Thank you, veterans. Holloman is in, that's in Breaking Bad country. That's out there in New Mexico, in the desert in New Mexico. Now, I mentioned a couple of times already this piece from Pat Buchanan at Real Clear Politics today. The war for the soul of America, Pat Buchanan writes, the war in Washington will not end until the presidency of Donald Trump ends. Everyone seems to sense that now. This is a fight to the finish. A post-election truce that began with Trump congratulating House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was ancient history by nightfall. with the forced resignation of Attorney General Jeff Sessions and his replacement by his chief of staff, Matthew Whitaker, the long-anticipated confrontation with Robert Mueller appears at hand. Sessions had recused himself from the oversight role of the special counsel's investigation into Russiagate. Whitaker is definitely not. Before joining DOJ, he said that the Mueller probe was overreaching, going places it had no authority to go, and that it could be leashed by a new attorney general and starved of funds until it just passed away. Whitaker was not chosen to be merely a placeholder until a new AG is confirmed. He was picked so he can get the job done, and about time. For 2 years, Trump has been under a cloud of unproven allegations and suspicion that he and top campaign officials colluded with Vladimir Putin's Russia to thieve and publish the emails of the Clinton campaign and the DNC. It's past time for Mueller to prove these charges or concede he has a busted flush, wrap up his investigation, and go home. In the words of T.S. Eliot, Trump appears to have found the strength to force the moment to its crisis. His attitude towards Mueller's probe is taking on the aspect of Andrew Jackson's attitude toward Nicholas Biddle's Second Bank of the United States. It's trying to kill me, but I will kill it. Trump has been warned by congressional Democrats that if he in any way impedes the work of Mueller's office, he risks impeachment. Well, let's find out. If the House Judiciary Committee of incoming Chairman Jerry Nadler wishes to impeach Trump for forcing Mueller to fish or cut bait, Trump's allies should broaden the debate to the real motivation here of the defeated establishment. It detests the man the American people chose to lead their country and thus wants to use its political and cultural power to effect his removal. Even before news of Sessions' departure hit on Wednesday, Trump was subjected to an Antifa-style hassling by the White House press corps. One reporter berated the president and refused to surrender the microphone. That's Acosta, or Accosted, as we call him. Others shouted support for his antics. A third demanded to know whether Trump's admission that he's a nationalist would give aid and comfort to white nationalists. By picking up the credentials of CNN's Jim Acosta and booting him out of the White House, Trump has set a good precedent. Freedom of the press does not mean guaranteed immunity of the press from the same kind of abuse the press directs at the president. John F. Kennedy was beloved by the media elite, yet JFK canceled all White House subscriptions to the New York Herald Tribune and called the publisher of the New York Times to get him to pull reporter David Halberstam out of Vietnam for undermining U.S. morale in a war in which Green Berets were dying. Some journalists have become Trump haters with press passes. And Trump is right to speak truth to mainstream media power and to accord to the chronically hostile press the same access to the White House to which Robert De Niro is entitled. Since the days of John Adams, the White House has been the president's house, not the press's house. Pelosi appears the favorite to return as speaker, but she may find her coming days in the post she loves to be in less than happy times. Some of her incoming committee chairs, namely Adam Schiff, Maxine Waters, and Elijah Cummings, seem less interested in legislative compromise than in rummaging through White House files for documents to damage the president, starting with his tax returns. To a world watching with fascination this death struggle convulsing our Capitol, one wonders how attractive American democracy appears. And just how much division can this democracy stand? We know what the left thinks of Trump's base. Hillary told us. Half his supporters, she said, are a basket of deplorables who are racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. Lately, America's populist right has been called fascist and neo-Nazi. How can the left unite with people like that? Why should the left not try to drive such racists out of power by any means necessary? This is the thinking that bred Antifa. And for those on the right, as they watch the left disparage the old heroes, tear down their monuments, purge Christianity from the public schools, they have come to conclude that their enemies are at root anti-Christian and anti-American. How do we unify a nation where the opposing camps believe this? What the Trump establishment war is about is the soul of America, a war, in which a compromise on principle can be seen as a betrayal. Make no mistake, that's exactly what it is, a war for the soul of America. 6:18 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back. Yeah, this will probably be done away with before long, too, because it has the lyric, Adam Boys, give him the gun. Can't have that mentions guns, you know, it's politically incorrect. We hadn't had an opportunity this afternoon yet to use the Air Force or the old Army Air Corps, as it used to be known, their theme song in here. So give those guys a shot. Thank you for your service. Hey, Bobby Mack, please wish a happy Veterans Day to my daughter, Specialist Carson McMakin. She served as an Army combat medic in South Korea and Germany. Dad, proud of her service, as you should be, sir. Bobby Mack, if dreams can come true, but I won't say it, but forgive me if I think it. Just saying. Gotcha. Hey, Bob, people at Colorado State University are following Sharia law. They're getting stoned. There you go. Bobby, we have to deal with furries as well as fluffies. Please just make it stop. I hear you. One more note from down there in Florida. An Avis employee at Fort Lauderdale Airport found a box labeled with the Supervisor of Elections, SOE, and the word provisional. It was found in the back of the returned car. According to the Avis employee, the last person to drive the car was a Broward County employee. The worker, his name is Mr. DiNapoli, discovered who the car was rented to, Noah Holloman, a Democrat who works at the Broward Supervisor of Elections office. Jeez. Laura Loomer and Jacob Ingalls tipped off, drove to the airport, but were denied entry. The media was refusing reporters entry into the area. As if it's not going to get out? Is that what they really think? We're not going to learn about this because they're not letting the media in there? Yeah, right. To David, as we go to the phones, David is in Greenville. Hi, David. Happy Veterans Day to you, sir.
Hey, and same to you, and shout out to all the veterans out there. I do greatly appreciate everything that you do and have done.
Thank you, sir.
Well, just wanted to, and I don't know if somebody's covered this, I had to leave for a little while and didn't catch the whole show, but as far as political correctness goes, which I know is the topic earlier when I got off,
right?
Is people should just disregard all the comments about it, and I make sure to say the exact same things I've always said. If it offends somebody, I hate that for them. But what I'm saying is not offensive. It's not,
right.
You know, it's not divisive. It's not doing anything wrong. It is the way in which I've always spoken, and I will continue to do so. And it's a very respectful manner. But, you know, as soon as we start letting them limit or actually, like, start to consider or, you know, limit our words, then that's when they win.
Yep, I would agree. And I have gone through, David. I have spent considerable time, an investment in time, going through my copy of the Constitution, which I have in front of me, as well as a Bill of Rights.
Yes, sir.
I've gone through both of them, and yet nowhere in those founding documents Can I find a guarantee of anyone's right to not be offended?
Yep. And Will Witt, he's on PragerU. He did an amazing show where he was going around to people and asking them about political correctness or offensive language and stuff like that.
Right.
And the whole point of it was, how am I supposed to know what you find offensive? He's like, maybe the fact that you find that offensive it's offensive to me.
Right.
So it's, you know, and he did, it's PragerU, it's Will Witt. He's, it has a comedic side to it, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, perfectly equates to the one today from Colorado State. You can't say long time no see.
I saw that.
Now, I guess, you know, if you're saying long time no see and you're saying it to Ray Charles, you know, that's one thing.
Right. Yeah. But related to the Chinese.
Yeah. But they're not going to be happy. Until they, you know, my description of these people is their definition of a perfect world is where everyone looks different, but all thinks and talks the same.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, because we're all equal.
Yep, exactly.
And, hey, one last thing though, that whole long time no see thing, isn't it kind of racist that they just automatically assumed that we were speaking about Chinese people? That, I mean, like maybe I guess relating it to their dialect, or I don't know what it is, but. That's actually racist.
Well,
trying to imply that has something to do with them.
How about Michelle Obama writing in her new book about when she first met Barack, and she said she was a little suspicious of him because she was suspicious that white people were fawning over a black guy, and that made her suspicious.
Oh wow! How about that?
That's
standards.
That's certainly not in any shape, manner, fashion, or form racist, right?
Oh yeah.
Thank
only
you, David.
Republican.
Thank you. Thank you, David. I appreciate the call. Good to have you here. 6:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back with the last half of the bonus hour as we slog our way through a wet Monday here on WORD. I'll be proud to lead you guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That wasn't bad. That's not too bad. I never tried to do George C. Scott before, Spatton. And why should anyone try now that I think about it? Welcome back. 6:38, 22 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show on our Veterans Day salute. Bobby, Aaron from Pelzer here. My younger brother, 21, is a Marine out off the coast of Japan right now. Proud of that young punk. As you should be. To the phones we go. Bill is next up. He's in Boiling Springs. Hi, Bill, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bobby. I enjoy listening to your program.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your being there.
Bobby, I just wanted to remember a couple of my brothers. One of them was older, and he passed. He was in a logistics supply in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was a Master Sergeant Younger that worked as a Master Sergeant at Philadelphia International Airport as a superintendent.
Wow.
He ordered the planes that went back and forth between Germany and the United States. So he had quite a job.
You know, a lot of those Air Force logistics guys, I had sympathy for because many of them joined the Air Force because they wanted to fly. And then for whatever reason, maybe they had a problem with their ears or vision wasn't quite to where it needed to be. But I knew a number of guys like that, and they really applied themselves to those logistics jobs. And, you know, without their making sure that the supply chain was there, you got nothing to work with.
Well, sure got the people back from overseas and back and forth quickly.
You bet.
The other thing I wanted to bring up was, can you believe that they're still flying B-52s?
I know it. And I wondered if
in the Air Force and during Vietnam.
Right.
And I flew in those B-52s.
Did you fly Rolling Thunder?
I sure did.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if there's a single bolt that remains from the original airframe.
Geez, I don't think so. I think they're flying H's or now, and they've got to even repaint it because there's no sack left anymore, and there's none of the other stuff left anymore, so they're all gone. They've changed all the names of the stuff now.
Yeah, what a tribute to that aircraft, though. That, 60 years later, it's still in the air?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, pretty incredible.
Thanks, Bobby. I enjoy listening.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for taking time to call this evening. Also in on the text line, Bob, we Scots have lots to say about some things. The Huctendimus Omnis translates to "we strive for this." There are actually two branches, Scottish branches, of Clan MacLean. There's the MCLEAN, and then there's the MCLAIN that's sometimes spelled with two C's. And my particular branch, we traced it back, are from Lochbuie. And so I got the family coat of arms and translated the Latin motto, which is victory or death. Not much gray area there with the Scots, as I've discovered. Bob, Police Academy has a great military-ish soundtrack. I'll take your word for it. Somehow I can't bring myself on Veterans Day, though, to use Police Academy music. Meanwhile, this goofball Macron, the president of France, denounced nationalism during the Armistice Day centennial observance in Gay Paris on Sunday. The president was there, of course, sitting not far down from him. There's a picture of Macron here, and he's sitting right next to Angela Merkel, who has an expression on her face like someone is giving her an enema. Patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism. Nationalism is treason, Macron said. God. What a lunatic this guy is. If we think our interests may only come first and we don't care for others, it is a treason of our values, a betrayal of all moral values. We must remember this. In case you haven't guessed already, Macron is one of these New World Order guys. And it just shows what a globalist he is. I would say I'm a patriot. I'm not a believer in a sort of globalism without any differentiation. I think it's very inconsistent, and it makes our people very nervous. But I'm not a nationalist, which is very different from me for being a patriot. Well, this goes a long way towards explaining how you can always recognize a member of the French army. You know how you recognize a member? You don't know that, Moneypenny? Mm-hmm. By their sunburned armpits. Well, one more time. Yeah, because they always have their hands up. Now, this is smart. I saw this the last couple of days and wanted to pass it along because you may not have thought of this. You may have and may already be doing it. But if you haven't, this is a good idea. An 11-year-old Arizona girl thwarted a possible kidnapping last week after she demanded a stranger who told her to get into his white SUV to give her the code word. Mm-hmm. The unidentified girl and a friend were walking near a park. This is in Texas. In just before 4 p.m. Wednesday, when a man driving a white SUV pulled up next to them. The man claimed the girl's brothers were in a serious accident and told the girl she had to come with him. The girl asked the stranger for the code word, but of course the man didn't know the answer and fled the scene. The girl's mother, Brenda James, said, "We came up with a code word, and this one time, it saved my daughter's life. She told me that a guy tried to take her." She said she never thought her daughter would have to use the code word tactic. I never thought it would be used, but I'm proud of her for remembering that and knowing to use it. Other children in the neighborhood said the SUV circled the park several times before stopping at the 11-year-old girl. The driver covered the majority of his face while talking to the child to conceal his identity. The sheriff of Pinal County, Mark Lamb, applauded the girl's parents for speaking to their children about stranger danger. Kudos to the parents of this child for having a code word and talking about it to their children about stranger danger. We hope by putting this out, it'll encourage parents to have that conversation and create a plan with their children so they'll know what to do if they're in that situation. And that's how a lot of these things happen. They'll tell them there's some family emergency and they've been sent to pick them up and try and lure the youngster into the vehicle. Kudos to that mom for being smart enough to think of that. And kudos to that young 11-year-old girl for being smart enough to remember to use it. 6:46, 14 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. The one-time leader of the Marine Corps Band there at 8th and I in Washington. That would be, of course, John Philip Sousa. You ever see the movie about Sousa's life? Oh, it's great. And all that great Sousa Marshall music in there. Love that stuff. 6:51, 9 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show, the closing minutes of the bonus hour and of our Veterans Day salute. And Doug joins me next from Greenville. Hey, Doug, how are you this evening?
Good, Bob. Long-time listener, forever, and first-time caller.
Wow, thank you, sir. Well, hey, that gives me an opportunity to warm up the cowbell.
That's good. I'd like to honor my great-grandfather was a prisoner in the 1860s. He was in prison in New York and walked back to South Carolina.
Holy cow. That's a hike.
Benjamin Reuben Hayes. That's, want to put that out there and honor him.
I appreciate that, sir.
Okay, well, we'll continue to listen. We listen to you all the time.
Doug, thank you very much. We appreciate that more than we say. Bobby, been an interesting show today. Thank you. Be safe, stay focused, buckle up, and God bless. When I say it's a beautiful day in Greer, 1 out of 10. Get it? It's all good. There you go. Bob, like to remember Mark, veteran USN Submariner. Appreciate that. You're claustrophobic. That's not the the MOS for you. So while Macron is talking about saying that your nationalist is essentially unpatriotic, that it's treason, while he's sitting there next to Angela Merkel, who has successfully pretty much transformed Germany into a place that's unrecognizable. And if you don't believe me, take the word of the Germans. This from Breitbart today by Virginia Hale. A majority of Germans say the level of mass migration has left them feeling, quote, like a stranger in their own country, according to a new study. Presented as part of this year's Leipzig University research into authoritarian attitudes in the country, the figure showed a rise of 12 points since the Competence Center for findings from the 328-page study. They interviewed just over 2,400 people between May and July of this year. 44% would support a ban on Muslim immigration, with agreement higher in the nation's east than in the west. Citing figures that showed that 36% of respondents believe Germany has been dangerously watered down by mass migration, researchers at Leipzig warned in a press release, "We are seeing high levels of approval for the attitude that has been considered an entry-level drug into right-wing extremism." See what they're trying to do here? Anything that does not go along with the progressive ideology, with the New World Order, is right-wing extremism, rather than being patriotic and wanting your country to remain as it was intended by its founders. Germany's international public broadcaster Deutsche Welle reported on the study with some alarm, claiming figures showing 60% of respondents agreed that Romani gypsies were more prone to commit crime and that this signaled rising hatred in the German population. While more than 90% of Germans said they were fans of democracy, the rise in xenophobic attitudes poses a threat to the democratic system, according to the researchers from Leipzig University. Right. Yeah, keep on like that, guys, and you'll end up like Macron, where you'll have an Islamist nation before you know it. Wow, running out of time here on this Veterans Day. I want to say thanks to all the folks who remembered veterans and their family and friends today. We try and set aside today for those who are still with us, because, of course, Memorial Day we reserve for the to memorialize our absent friends. But it's always fun to be able to do this. Bob, I was in Orlando, Florida this weekend. Felt like a stranger in my own country. More Spanish speakers than English speakers. Yep. That's the way the left wants it. See you tomorrow. Have a great evening and stay dry. God bless.
Every time we say goodbye, goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Hello, I must be going.
What?
I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye.
Till our next show, goodbye from us to you.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.